You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Boom! That's a bad outfit! Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me! My turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough!
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough!
Am I the baddest mofo no down around this town?
Sure enough!
Well, who am I?
Sure enough!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And I'm gauzed up.
You found Geek Watch 1.
That's right. Hey, Kylan just got out of the dentist chair.
And decided recording was a good idea. I asked him numerous times this morning before he went in, while he was there, when he came. Are you sure you want to record today? Yes, we're going to record today. This is the result of him saying, yes, we're still going to record today.
And this is Kylan with no drugs in him either.
No drugs.
They gave him Novocaine and that's it, so.
They didn't even give him painkillers.
So instead of being instead of a loopy Kylan, we get marble mouth Kylan.
Yes. Yeah. You know, if you watch King of the Hill and you see his neighbor, you know, the one that talks.
Boomhauer.
Boomhauer. Yeah, that's what you got going on right now. Right?
Yeah.
You're Boomhauer today.
Well, Geeksters, this is issue 104 of Geek Watch 1, and this is, I think, just our chill and calm before, or in the middle of the Eye of the Storm show, I think.
Calm
really.
In the middle of the storm, yeah.
Yeah, this would be an Eye of the Storm show.
Yeah,
because
right.
We had Oddmall last week, Guardians of the Galaxy last week. We have, next week we're going to have Oddmall again, and we're going right into Wonder Woman after that, the new Meeple cast right after that. We got, yeah, for the next couple shows we got some busy stuff going on, but today we get to chill. But the television companies have not been chilling this week.
No,
there's been a lot, like every day there was something.
So we'll get to that. That's probably going to be the main gist of the show is what's going on TV for this year, next year, the year beyond that. That's just
the
pure craziness.
The next 10 years, we're covered.
That's right.
Really.
I think TV's starting to take over, starting to work like movies where they're moving 5-6 years in the future and figuring out where they actually want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But before that, we don't want to let this go without letting you guys know. Remember, Oddmall is next week, May 20th, Stadium Park, Canton, Ohio.
No, it's this week.
Oh, yeah, that is this weekend. This is
you got to remember when things drop. It's this week.
Yes.
It's in a couple days. It's Saturday.
Yes.
It's come so fast.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we've never done it like one right after the other like this before. We have 1 week in between, and then...
You guys weren't around working with it when Oddmall and Con of the Cob were right on top of each other.
That's true.
They used to have the spring when there was only 2 Oddmalls a year.
Yeah.
The fall Oddmall usually fell 1 to 2 weeks before Con on the Cob. So it was was it after?
It was after.
Yeah, it was after.
Yeah,
Con of the Cob was in October.
Yeah.
Oddmall got beginning of November.
November, yeah.
And that was pure insanity when we were actually trying to do that.
And then Andy got away from that, and now he started again.
Well, that's because he's up to, what, 6 Oddmalls now?
He has 6 now, yes.
He does 7 shows a year, basically, that he runs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all crazy enough to help him out.
And Heather says, yes, do more.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
More.
He checks with Heather to make sure that insanity isn't going nuts. And Heather's like, yeah, do more. I'm like... Okay.
Yeah. So now that we've recovered from last week's Oddmall, there's one coming
I'm
up.
I'm almost done recovering.
Yeah. Right. One on Saturday. So if you missed any of that goodness, if you saw some of the pictures or anything, and the artisans or the entertainment or any of that stuff, it's all coming again, and it's all outdoors one day. Canton Stadium Park this Saturday.
That's right. Mm. We got 2 stages worth of entertainment. We got gaming in the Botanical Gardens building, isn't it?
Yep.
Or the Horticulture, but something like that. It's to do with planting.
Yeah.
It's the building they have
There's
gaming
a building
in.
There, and that's where the gaming will be.
That's right. We got food trucks. He's got five or six food trucks already.
The vampires have no excuse. There's a building.
Exactly.
They can get out of the sun.
Yes. There's plenty of trees, too.
Yes, there are. Actually, it's reasonably shady.
And most of the vendors really will have tents, so you'll be up underneath, away from the sun if you jump from tent to tent.
And right. And the Canton Parks people will have a bit of a plant sale going on, which
awesome.
Is good because it's finally, it looks like it'll finally be time to plant plants now that the frost is maybe gone at night.
Maybe, possibly, although we had frost, what, 3 days ago, four days ago?
Yeah, exactly. So there's going to be a crap load of stuff to do.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's free, so you really have no excuse to not, if you're within, what did Andy say, 300 miles?
Something like that, yeah.
If you're in the region, you don't have an excuse. Even if you come by and just grab something to bite, something to eat at one of the awesome food trucks, and then just take a mosey around as you're eating it, there's going to be something you'll like.
That's true.
As of right now, now this is Ohio, so the weather's going to change hourly until we get there. But they're calling for 81 and a 40% chance of rain in the p.m. So late in the evening, a 40% chance of rain. So it's supposed to be sunny most of the day.
Yeah, it opens at 10.
It
goes until, is it 7?
7 yeah.
7 p.m.
Because we had to fill entertainment spots from 6 a.m. all the way till 6 p.m. on two stages.
Oh. So everybody get your Suns Out, Guns Out t-shirts.
That's right. What was that?
It's just going to be insane.
Yes.
It is. We're all going to be dead tired by the time that we reach 7 p.m. Mm-hmm.
But with all the other stuff going on, we have our regular Odd Mall costume contest is going to be there. Jesse and Vicky are ready to go with that. 3 p.m. Now, we've made it a universal thing across the board, and we're going to make sure no one gets confused because somewhere this time that the costume contest at Odd Mall, every Odd Mall, no matter where it's at, is 3 p.m. The deadline for entries, you have to sign up before 2. That way they can get everything ready to go. Right. Now, this is for every Odd Mall everywhere.
There's some organization involved, and I think people just don't realize what it takes. There's a lot of people who do the cosplay contest.
Yes.
And you know, Vicky and Jesse have to go through a lot of papers and sort people out and put them all in the right categories and line them up and everything. So it takes a while. They need that whole hour before the contest starts.
Yeah, the MCs and the judges got the easy part.
Exactly.
All they
gotta
do is read the paper that these girls get together.
Exactly.
They basically kill an entire forest to do the costume contest.
Right. So keep in mind, if you're joining the costume contest for the one in Canton or ultimately the one in Akron in September, that's
or Toledo,
outdoors, specifically.
Yes. Oh,
that's
outdoors. The outdoor ones.
Remember, these are outdoors. You're going to have to walk along, you know, gravel or grass or something, so make sure you're careful with your footwear, because I saw someone with bare feet last weekend for whatever they were wearing.
Yeah.
And don't make it too heavy a costume. Don't go for fur.
It is going to be 80 degrees out.
It's outside. You got to be in that costume for probably at least an hour by the time you get ready and get set up and get into the contest. So remember that. Keep that in mind. And make it easy to walk around in and not hit people.
But this is going to be awesome. We got the first annual Odd Mall Eyewash, which is going to be interesting to see. I'm going to have to walk away from my stage just enough to see that.
Yes. There's an awesome river that runs through this park.
Count as a river?
It's
wide enough.
It's bigger
to be a river
than a creek.
it's only about a foot and a half deep.
It has an actual current, so I think it's considered a river.
Yeah.
So that's why they're doing this eyewash. They decided they wanted to drop something in and have it run down a certain length of the river, and you can purchase the eyeballs for, I believe it's $5 a piece.
Yes, I think it's $5 for 20.
You can reserve them ahead of time, too. And they're going to all be there on the day and get dropped in from the bridge at one side, and the bridge on the other side is the finish line. Whoever gets there first or in whatever order, there's prizes.
Oh, yeah.
And there's good prizes. Like, we're not going to give it away, but there's some kick-ass prizes.
Mm. Yeah. But that's Odd Mall next week, and then from there, you're not going to hear about Odd Mall for a while after next
week. Finally!
We have a couple of months break, finally.
Yeah, we're glad for that.
We got to recharge over the summer, too. Yeah. Well, no, you'll hear about Odd Mall, but it won't be about the shows.
Right.
Because Andy he's pretty much made the official announcement that the Assembly of Odd is coming.
There's an Odd Mall outpost on its way that I believe he's actually... There's another little Odd Mall announcement. Andy is trying to get together as many fans of Odd Mall and cosplayers as possible to walk in the green Memorial Day parade. There is an event posted on Facebook. Look it up via the Odd Mall page, via Andy, via any way you can. He wants Odd Mall to be represented in the Memorial Day parade. And so he's looking especially for cosplayers. He wants people to dress up as much as possible. And so look for that. And he said, in relation to the parade, he's actually going to show people where the outpost is.
Nice.
So if you want a little advanced preview, then get involved with the parade.
Well, I know Vicky's already put, Vicky and I are both cosplaying in it. She's actually got, if anybody saw her pictures from Concoction of Mama Flash from Earth, what was it?
19.
Or from Earth 19. Mm-hmm. She's going to be wearing that in the parade. Andy suggested I just throw my Blackhawk wrestling gear on.
There you go.
And that's, hey, it's a costume.
There you go.
There you go.
So Cassie will probably be there. I don't know if we'll figure out how to give her a costume
at
or
least
not.
A bandana.
Yeah, we'll get her a Wonder Pup bandana or that's something. Right. Are you guys going
to
get in the parade?
Well, Kylan's working
that work
day.
So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where, are you going to come down at least on?
No.
Oh.
It's a day off from work. I'm not coming to walk in a parade. I'm sorry.
So come down and check it out. That's the Green Parade on Memorial Day. I'm not sure even where it's at in Green.
And I believe Andy's having people arrive at his house. Everyone's meeting here.
Okay.
So that's why look up the info on the Facebook announcement, because that's got everything that he wants to organize.
Okay.
But yeah, it's through Green somewhere. I don't know where the parade actually goes.
Okay. It's probably right down here past his house, because the
it could be.
The Green municipal buildings and stuff is right up the road.
Yeah, it could be. He said something about the high school parking lot, too, so that may be bringing people together there and starting from here or something.
Go down and around the roundabout or something.
We've
I don't know.
Seen him before go, like, the main road.
Yeah. Over on Maslin Road.
Over, yeah.
So, but that's all the odd mall news and all of that stuff for the moment, but what have you guys been doing this week, other than Kylan getting things removed? Kylan's been having things removed from his head, but other than that...
That's probably it.
That's really about it.
Okay, did we do anything geeky this week? Other than trying to survive the... I guess I did get the con crowd.
Right.
It's close enough to it.
No, just... I mean, I'm just getting ready for my year of shows.
Yeah. She's starting to get shows in and figuring out what stuff she's doing.
Recovering from Odd Mall, preparing for Odd Mall.
That's right.
And then all the other ones in between.
So that brings us... it's quick into the show, but... There's been some craziness going on TV.
I do want to announce one thing, though.
What? Oh, yeah, you had some news.
My Bob's Burger album arrived today.
Uh-oh.
It only came out on Friday, and I had it on order right away, and so Saturday it arrived, and we listened to it on the way here already. We've been listening. It's two discs. It has 107 songs.
So they're supposed to be short songs.
And, well, a lot of them are, if you've ever watched Bob's Burgers, some of these songs are like 15 seconds long, like basically like little snippets that like the kids will sing something as they're walking away or whatever.
I had Hanna-Barbera put out an album like that at one point with all the Hanna-Barbera stuff, and some of it was like the jingles that run, the background music, stuff
like that. Exactly. And they've got like the songs that play over the end credits on some of their episodes and that kind of thing. So some of them are a couple minutes long, some of them are 10 seconds long. That's why there is 107 of them on the album. But I just wanted to mention that it's out now, since we talked about it earlier. Was there
any surprises on it?
Not really.
No, not really.
Not so far. I mean, it's basically everything. Like, if you watch Bob's Burgers at all, when you hear these songs, you'll know exactly what episode it was, like what was going on in the episode.
Okay.
You know, exactly from it. And the basic CD is like a two CD set, and it has a... It has a little Bob's Burgers music album book that gives a little more about, you know, who sang some of them, because there are some artists who actually got involved in some of this. And then they do have on Amazon even the vinyl set that you can get.
Oh, nice.
That actually gives you, like, you get stickers with it and stuff, too, and I think it's like $40 or something.
Vinyl's actually a thing at this point.
But absolutely. Absolutely. Vinyl is a thing now.
It's kind of funny. We were setting up for Superpowers last night down in the basement of Hall of Justice, and Vernon actually had Nirvana running on vinyl on his record player.
Well, because on, what was it? What's it called? Record Day or
Record
annual
Store Day.
Record Store Day. Which was last month, I believe, or was it in
March?
It was just a couple weeks ago
Weeks ago, yeah.
Like, that's when record stores actually put out special vinyl editions of various things every year now. It's almost like the record store version of Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
Like, they put out special editions of stuff. One of the things they put out was a small old school, for nostalgia purposes, version of a record player that was Star Wars branded.
Oh, nice.
I know a place that has I saw it, and I'm like...
There is actually one left in the area, I know that, but our friend Sarah got one on record day, so... So if you're looking for one of those little old school ones, they've got those out now, too.
Okay.
But yeah, so I wanted to mention that since we talked about it earlier, that it was there. And of course, it's TV related, so there you go.
Right. Yeah. Well, what non-TV news do you have on there?
I don't. I really everything's don't. Everything's TV this week, huh? Everything this week. There was even casting news was TV related.
Yeah.
There was no big movie for our purposes that opened this week.
I'm hitting all the dirt sheets and all the news sites looking here, and it's like, it was all TV all
the
day.
All the news was TV news. I don't know.
Even in the comic book sites, they're all TV news.
Right. If it's because of time of year, because they're all approaching their finales and stuff, so they're announcing cancellations and renewals and all that as well, and it was all TV this week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, where do you want to start? Want to go network by network, or?
No, I don't want to do network by network. We could talk cancellations.
Yeah.
There were a couple of
those. There were
some
surprises that were not canceled.
There was an interesting cancellation, non-cancellation that you mentioned.
There was a non-cancellation, yes.
Right.
That we found out 20 minutes before showtime.
It was kind of like being uninvited to something.
Actually, I can bring up the actual article here and let you go to that, though, first.
The non-surprising cancellation that I called right after the pilot is Powerless.
Yeah.
And
I was hoping, because
everyone was trying to convince us that it was going to be good.
It was getting better. It just didn't have... It took too long to figure out what it was doing.
Yeah, it just kind of proves that the superhero comedy thing might not be working.
Well, no, I think what it is get the right people to do it.
Well, that's the case with anything, though.
If they had Greg Berlanti, executive producer, on a superhero comedy, it would work somehow.
I don't know. Not necessarily.
I think there's certain genres that comedy don't work, like spy comedies... don't work.
No.
What?
Mr. Bean was awesome.
No, that wasn't a spy, though.
Mr. Bean wasn't a spy.
No. What was that one Val Kilmer was in the 80s? That Top Secret.
That was a movie, though.
That was a movie. I'm talking about a TV series.
Get Smart was good back in the day. Yeah, but that was way back in the day. That was in the 60s when people wanted... I mean, they watched Batman that way in the 60s.
Right.
That's bad.
Get Smart wouldn't work now. The Get Smart movie... didn't work.
I mean, you had Inspector Gadget was a funny cartoon about spy stuff, but as a movie, it sucked.
I think superheroes as a genre, the comedy aspect of it.
I think the test will be when Squirrel Girl comes out, the Squirrel Girl TV show.
Are they making live action?
That's what they're doing.
When did they announce that?
About a month or two ago.
Okay.
Along with the live action. Oh yeah, that's going to be which one is it? New Warriors.
Squirrel Girl and New Warriors.
Oh, okay.
That'll be a bit of a test, but that one is actually skewing young. Is it on Freeform they're putting that
Freeform,
one on?
Freeform, yeah.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily for the wide audience, it'll be interesting to see how that changes things.
But that furthers what I was saying originally when you guys were worried about Cloak & Dagger, which you're still worried about Cloak & Dagger, but the fact that it looks like Freeform is trying to take the CW model,
which is about
the size network they are, really.
Right.
They know they're not going to break into the big four.
Right.
Ever. Well, they're owned by one of the big four.
Well, I mean, they've survived as they are for years, whether they were ABC Family or whatever, but they've survived with the type of programming they provide, and that's what people expect.
Yeah, it looks like they're, ABC's looked at, you know what, look what CW's doing with DC Comics. And with Archie, even. Because I've not watched Riverdale, but I know it's getting good reviews, and people are enjoying this show.
Yeah.
It's not my type of show, but...
It's not an Archie show. That's the thing.
Well, I guess Vernon has read Archie for a while, and he said it does have Archie. You can feel it's there because the newer Archie books, a lot of them are similar to this.
Right.
It's not your classic Archie.
It's a little more. What was Bart calling it? He was calling it the OC, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was calling it much more the OC.
Like I said, some of the newer Archie titles are like this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's not your classic Archie Digest that you're going to find on the magazine rack.
Apparently, they just had the finale of it, and it had some kind of Easter egg that might be related to Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Sabrina is an Archie comic also.
Well, yeah, that's just it, though. People were wondering if they would go there because it brings in a paranormal aspect, so... I don't know.
One of the biggest titles that Archie's putting out right now is an actual haunted paranormal book in the Archie universe.
Right.
But now, where were you going?
The other cancellation that was really not much of a surprise based on ratings was Frequency.
Okay.
And then there was the one that we were hoping wouldn't be canceled, that they announced was canceled, was Timeless.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
we lost Timeless.
And then it was rediscovered.
Exactly.
Apparently today.
Yeah, this is as of 10 a.m. this morning.
It's 10 a.m. Saturday.
The Hollywood Reporter, 10 a.m. on Saturday, puts out the story that Timeless was actually saved from cancellation as NBC reverses course on the season 2 renewal. Now, this is interesting, though, because as of right, originally they announced that it would be a summer 2018. Right. So you got to wait an entire year from now to get the second season.
Right.
But they said the chances are they may actually, that's not quite set in stone.
Right.
So
The fact is it's coming back.
Yeah. But it looks like as of right now, it may be a spring 2018.
Which, I mean, we know it's all because of the money that it's coming back.
Oh, well, if you look at the history of NBC, in this article, they actually go through some of that where shows like The Blacklist, one of NBC's biggest shows right now,
right,
was canceled. But what it is it was not an NBC-owned show. That's at Warner Brothers.
Right.
So NBC cancels it. Warner Brothers says, well, we'll give you partial ownership and all this extra money. And NBC says, okay, we'll let you have some more.
So basically that's what happened with Timeless.
Well, the one that was telling that says that this was straight money decision was Taken, where it had finished with a 1.5 rating.
Right.
And it got renewed.
Yep.
Timeless ends with a 2.0 and was canceled.
Right.
Sony Pictures makes Timeless, NBC makes Taken.
There you go. I mean, I did read that for Timeless, the debut episodes were getting 8 million viewers, and then it shrunk to like 4.5 million. They definitely lost viewers, but that's still reasonably decent viewership.
That's still acceptable for network TV.
And the fact is,
Monday night.
Yeah, for when they put it on.
Yeah, being a brand new show.
And the fact is, there were a lot of time travel shows that came out over the past season, over the past year.
This one said there was 4 of them.
Yeah, and the fact is, I think, Timeless was the best of them in terms of historical representation and the way things worked. And it was, the way I viewed it was that Timeless was a historical action drama with time travel.
Yeah.
Whereas the other ones focused way too much on the time travel itself.
It seemed like Timeless basically found the niche where, way back in the day, Kylan will remember this, Voyagers.
I watched Voyagers.
Okay. It fits the niche where Voyagers was at, and then we had Quantum Leap in the 90s.
Right.
And this fell into that same niche.
Right.
And the thing is, because there were so many time travel shows at once over the past year, it didn't get the viewers because people were split between them.
Yeah.
And then when the other ones were suddenly going off, then people were like, oh, there's this one left. Well, it probably won't make it either, so I won't bother.
Yeah.
So hopefully now that they've severely cut down what's out there and it doesn't look like there's new time travel shows coming, from what we've heard so far anyway,
right,
hopefully they'll actually get a little more of an audience. The story was good and it left it on... slight conclusion, slight cliffhanger. So
yeah,
we do really want to see what happens. But yeah, I was happy when you guys said that when we came down here. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, Timeless is back.
That's right.
Yep.
But we did. It does look like that television or the networks are all in for comic books, though.
Yes.
We know early that the CW renewed the 4 main superhero shows.
Yep.
Within a couple of weeks of them being out, they already renewed all 4 of them.
Right.
So Flash, Supergirl, Arrow, and Legends are coming back. But they announced this week, Black Lightning has been picked up for a full season.
That's right.
Right.
They also renewed iZombie.
Yes,
so they're up to 7 shows on the CW book-based shows if you include Riverdale with that.
Because
Riverdale's got its renewal also.
Yeah, I mean, like, iZombie and Riverdale, they're not superhero, but they're comic books, so
exactly.
They apply.
And iZombie is in DC. Well, it's in Vertigo, but
and
it's
the other thing they were talking about Black Lightning. It did get the full series run, but it's probably going to be a mid season.
Yeah,
it's not going to be a beginning
mid season. And what was the other one that? Oh, we're going to get into that when we get into sci-fi. The other one's also mid season.
Yeah,
but as I pointed out, I actually did. Mike in the last minute called me to get on Weeby Geeks this week, and we were talking about that Black Lightning is this. It's the same spot that where Legends premiered. And look where we're at with Legends.
Right.
You didn't get a full season this year, but it was a full enough season that you got everything.
Right.
So.
And then there's the new X-Men show for Fox got officially ordered to series, The Gifted.
Yes.
It came out with a teaser trailer this week.
That one, actually, that one looks... To me, that one would have hooked me even faster than Legion. I've not got a chance to see Legion yet, but this one feels like X-Men. It's just not anybody you recognize if you're not a major Marvel fan.
Right. It's straightforward. Legion is not a straightforward X-Men type show.
No.
This is straightforward. You see the younger heroes with abilities and doing things, and it gets action-y right from the start, even in the teaser.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, and that one's also, I think, a mid-season, isn't it?
I believe they're talking mid-season, but I don't know for sure.
So, but like I said, they're all in on superheroes right now.
Right.
that actually, are we ready to move on to sci-fi? Well, sci-fi's got a bunch of announcements coming up.
The other thing was, it was announced this week that FXX, which is FX's extra channel, has ordered a 10 episode series run of an animated Deadpool show for adults.
From Donald Glover.
And Donald Glover is the one behind it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing is kind of interesting. Like, he's an uber geek anyway. And he's kind of skyrocketed with Atlanta.
Yeah.
That show is doing phenomenally well. It's got rave reviews on that. So it'll be interesting to see his take on comic book stuff. Like, he really was in the running to get involved with the Miles Morales Spider-Man kind of thing.
Miles Morales is based off of him.
Yeah.
He's also, if I remember right, Star Wars fans would enjoy, I believe, isn't he Lando in the...
Yeah, he's Lando.
He is Lando in the Solo movie. In the Solo movie, for sure. So it'll be interesting to see. Like, I was surprised that he was attached to it, because, like, he hasn't been attached to anything Deadpool-related at all.
Yeah.
You know, so... But I think it's a good thing based on, you know, his talent and his track record
now,
so far.
What's the chances this may be actually in the same universe as the movie, and we could possibly get, like, a Ryan Reynolds doing the voice?
Well, that's actually... I was telling Kylan about that. I'm like, this is the only way that it will really work is if it's Ryan Reynolds doing the voice. Because, well... Okay, Deadpool is always in the same universe. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter what he's in. Like, you know, he even commented on the crappy, you know, don't sew my mouth shut thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always, because he breaks that fourth wall, he's always in the same universe, regardless of what he's in. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. And I'm so glad when I saw that and he said it was an adult animated show. That just made me so happy.
Well, it's a whole lot easier for him to be able to work TV and movies at the same time than it was 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Since at one point, it's a behind the scenes thing, but there was two separate unions.
Mm-hmm.
TV was its own union.
Mm-hmm.
SAG was its own union, and they didn't cross. I mean, you had to do a lot of stuff to actually try to work both.
Now everyone is everywhere.
It's all one union. Yes. SAG and AFTRA are the same. It doesn't take anything to cross the border.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's why you've seen a lot more traditionally movie actors working television.
Yeah.
And vice versa sometimes. Mm-hmm.
And this is obviously, if you've ever watched any of the Marvel cartoons, you know it's not the first time Deadpool's been in a cartoon. He was in, was it Amazing Spider-Man?
Ultimate
Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen was him in there because of the comments he made. But you know, it was a kid's show. So now you just think about, anyway.
This one is not going to be a kid's show. It's going to be an adult show. Archer or... I don't want to say, but South Park even.
Yeah.
To where it's like they don't have anywhere near the amount of censorship or anything else on it.
Exactly. And plus it is on, you know, cable. FXX,
is this another channel you can actually get in your cable package? Or where's FXX?
If you get FX, you get FXX, don't you?
Yeah.
So it's your basic.
See, we've had cable for like 2 years, 2.5,
because
3 years.
Isn't that what shows Legion? Isn't that on FXX?
Legion's on FXX.
Yeah. It's kind of like one step above the main FX mainstream shows that they show. It's usually where they put their bigger, you know, shows, but it's not an extra. At least for us, it's not an extra.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to say that because cable packages are so different everywhere.
It's part of the FX package.
It's part of the FX universe. So,
okay.
Yeah. But there's no, the only thing they've released in terms of date wise is they're saying 2018. Nothing in terms of time of year, but that is when the Deadpool sequel comes out in June. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, there's at this point, if they're only just announcing the animated show, it's likely the production won't be done in time for early 2018.
Yeah.
And it could follow the sequel. And
the way animated goes, you needed some time to get animated up and running.
Yes, exactly. Right. It's, you know, the voice work is one thing, but to actually get the animation done is another thing entirely. So...
I know for Clone Wars, the anime. Now, for the Clone Wars, for Star Wars, they actually were recording the voices first,
mm-hmm.
and then they animated to the voices.
Yeah.
But the voices were about a year to year and a half out
right.
from when the show actually would premiere.
So I'm thinking, honestly, I think it'll be after the sequel, because it's beginning of June that comes out next year. So I'm thinking it'll be either summer or fall next year, but it said 2018 so far. So yeah.
Cool.
Another thing to look forward to. And the other one you wanted to get into now was...
Yeah, because Sci-Fi made some major announcements this week.
This past week, Sci-Fi had some kind of program for the media in general where they essentially announced that they're... Now, we're talking Sci-Fi Channel, or SIFI. Because they're still not changing the damn spelling. Well,
but what it is they branded it that.
Yeah.
And you work in marketing, you know this.
Yeah, they don't want to get rid of that branding they paid a lot of money for.
Mm-hmm.
So they announced that basically they're finally going back to their roots. They're going to get rid of a lot of this reality show crap they've had on, all the non-sci-fi related crap they've had on. They're probably not going to get rid of Sharknado anytime soon.
But that actually, the funny thing is... Every time they put one of those movies out, everybody knows how terrible it's going to be. But people are going to watch.
I mean, really, it's still sci-fi. It's bad sci-fi. Everyone knows bad sci-fi.
Right. But that's a classic part of sci-fi, exactly. Is the B-movie. It basically, that falls into the trope of the 60s and 70s B-drive-in, Saturday night drive-in movies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then sci-fi is putting it on Saturday nights where the family can sit around and watch a really bad movie and laugh at it.
And with like B and C level actors showing up
again. These are actors that at one point may have been mainstream, but...
Exactly. You haven't seen them in 40 years. but they're there. So apparently, though, for the Sci-Fi Channel itself, it's their 25th anniversary.
Ah, okay.
So they kind of made it coincide with that of rebranding, going back to their roots. But they're changing their logo again, which is kind of, it doesn't look good. It looks a little more sci-fi, but it's this bright lime yellowy green. They've changed the font and it's huge. Like it's not a calm little logo anymore. It's this big,
little purple.
Invading robot logo now.
Yeah.
It's got this chunky font. It's not the greatest, but it gets your attention. So, you know, that's part of it. But yeah, so that's the one thing that the article I found said. It's very large and very green.
Oh.
Yeah, see?
The big square one?
See?
Is this the one, the square one?
Yeah, that, doing square and doing it just as one line.
I mean, it is very much sci-fi font.
But it's very...
Very blocky.
Big and
I like
chunky
the old one better.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it was coming out of the wall a little bit. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's weird.
So,
actually, I like their old one where when it was actually SCIFI.
When it had the
little rings like Saturn around.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was a nice one, which, you know, for your anniversary, maybe you should go back to that.
Yeah.
But they paid someone to do this, so yeah, we're getting that logo. But they actually called their little event the Sci-Fi Reboot. And,
okay.
You know, they've been doing well, the shows that they have. That are sci-fi, like The Expanse is apparently really popular. And
I know a bunch of people that The Expanse season 2, I guess, just finished. And they said this show is amazing. One of the best science fiction shows on TV.
That's one of the ones that we've been meaning to watch again. And it's just kind of like we haven't gotten to it
yet.
Well,
the nice thing is we have that CBS All Access, and CBS makes The Expanse. So that's all on there. I just got to get a chance to watch it.
And they have The Magicians, which apparently is
pretty
popular.
Supposed to be amazing too. Yeah,
you know, that's the other side of sci-fi. That's more the fantasy side of sci-fi
science fiction fantasy.
exactly, and that's the part that a lot of people forget about.
Yeah, we got librarians that we'll be able to catch up with too.
Yeah, soon.
Oh yeah.
Because we haven't seen the new season yet because it's not on Hulu yet.
Oh okay, yeah. I'm actually reading a librarian's book right now.
Nice
books.
Uh-huh.
But basically, they want to go back to... This was from their NBC Universal Cable Entertainment, president of entertainment, Chris McCumber, specifically said that the goal was to go back to high-end scripted television with four focuses. Space and sci-fi, fantasy, paranormal and supernatural, and superheroes and comics.
Which is one
what
of the,
we've
some
wanted
of the stuff,
from
yes.
them since they started changing.
This is the Sci-Fi Channel is actually going to be science fiction fantasy
again. Yes, it's
because superheroes and comics fits in with sci-fi fantasy.
It's going to return to where it should have been.
Yes.
A long time ago.
Hallelujah.
So along with the Expanse and the Magicians returning, they announced Krypton.
Krypton is getting a full season order coming the first quarter 2018.
Right.
And anybody who saw the trailer that got pulled real quick, this is a science fiction show.
Yes.
It actually has, from what I saw, it has a very Caprica feel.
Mm-hmm. It has... The interesting thing
hopefully
is
the stories are better.
I saw a couple people commenting on it almost had a Game of Thrones feel, which is not surprising in the sense that Game of Thrones deals with politics, it deals with families.
That's what sci-fi has done well for years. Mm-hmm. Shows that are... Battlestar was that way.
Mm-hmm.
Caprica, for the one season they had, that's what it was.
And I mean, a lot of the best sci-fi shows, it's not about big space battles or alien creatures or something. It's about the politics and the interrelationships.
The one of the shows, that, in my opinion, that did that the best out of anything for sci-fi was Babylon 5. I keep going back to Babylon 5, but that one basically set the bar and said, you know what, mm-hmm. if you want to do political thriller-type stuff in space, this is how you do it.
Yeah, absolutely, because Babylon was all about basically everyone trying to get along.
Exactly.
Everyone, across the universe, everyone.
The universe is full of races, all working together to govern the space station.
Yeah.
Well, from there, they're setting policies for the rest of their
but it was interesting.
Empires.
It was interesting because that show was on at the same time as DS9.
Yeah.
Now, with DS9, that was a little bit more of a
utopian
idea because all these different races and species are all living together, whereas DS9, each one had their own separate, like, they're all living separately from each other, you know, all on the space station. And then their representatives coming together.
Babylon.
But you had the politics and the spying and all the stuff going on.
Oh yeah, Babylon was all about that.
Yeah, I felt like that show was probably the more realistic. Like if we were to look 300 years into the future, it probably would have been closer to Babylon 5 than DS9.
Well, Babylon 5...
I still love this show.
For me, the best description I had of it, the Babylon 5 was basically a drama set in the UN headquarters in New York in space.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was all your ambassadors from all your different places trying to do stuff together.
Right.
And having to follow orders from their countries way out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. And really, if you think about that, it's the perfect show, like, for now.
Right.
Yeah.
You have so many people trying to get along on a global basis, even with companies being global and
figuring out
what's going on within your own company. It's
Babylon
the same
was
sort
probably
of thing.
About 20 years ahead of its time because it came out it was right around 97, 98 when it debuted.
And
it originally debuted.
Hold on.
It was on NBC originally.
It was earlier than that because I'm thinking that had been like 93, 94.
Give me just a minute. I'll look it up.
Because I'm thinking I had just graduated college. And,
that's not it. Not Babylon B. I don't know where that is. As everybody goes to the phone, who's Google Foo is the best?
Exactly.
There we go. Michael J. Yeah, remember, this was J. Michael Straczynski, too.
Right.
That created this. Looks like 98. I don't know. Wiki. It started out... 110 episodes. Oh, originally it was in 94.
Yeah.
Was the premiere.
Yeah.
Then TNT picked it up in 98.
Yeah.
So, oh no, the original release was February 22nd, 1993. So, this is one that actually was saved from canceling also.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because NBC canceled it after one season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
But that was, I mean, that was kind of the run that you needed to watch was Babylon 5. Other things that they talked about for sci-fi, they announced a new project, the development of a George R.R. Martin novella that's actually a sci-fi horror called Night Flyers that he wrote in the 80s.
Okay.
But it was part of a collection, so they're not sure if it's going to be a series based entirely on this novella or if it's going to be based on the full collection that it was part of with other sci-fi horror stories.
So maybe more of like an anthology type deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is something, another one that sci-fi, I think, needs to work into, because they've done it before. Mm-hmm. And it looks like this is not the first time recently that we've heard about this, because remember it was, what was it, Tales from the Crypt or something?
Yep.
That someone's trying to restart and trying to get some anthology, because every
also,
so often...
the one from the 80s that was Steven Spielberg.
Amazing Stories?
Amazing Stories.
Yes, they've been talking about
Yeah, well, every 10 years or so, it seems like they try to bring this back, and it works for a couple of years, and then they decide to move on.
Well,
with stuff like Outer Limits coming back, Twilight Zone coming back.
Yeah, I mean,
and
if you look at it, people still want to watch that stuff. You watch... How often is Twilight Zone on television and you still swing by and watch it? Even the remake of it, not
Hulu.
Even the original.
Hulu has a new one now. We've only seen the first episode. I think it's Dimension 404 or 401.
Okay.
And it's actually done by, you ever heard of Rocket Jump Company?
Yeah.
It's them that's making it.
Okay.
It's Freddie Wong.
Okay.
Because we used to watch their videos when they were just doing YouTube stuff.
Right.
But they've moved on well past that now with Video Game High School and things like that.
And I mean, with, you know, with people having short attention spans, and if they want, look, it's kind of like, look, you only have to watch one episode, then you can watch the next one as a different story.
The first episode was cool. It was actually, what was it? This guy, do you remember exactly the way it was? It was like a dating service thing, but what it was, you find out later, because this is a sci-fi anthology show, this guy meets this perfect girl, and everything's perfect, then all of a sudden she dumps him out of nowhere. And you find out what it is she's, and they both met on this dating app.
Mm-hmm.
But what the dating app does is she's paid into the dating app, and they're creating her perfect match. And if something isn't right, okay, they scrap that one and create the next one and drop him in there.
They make a special clone just
and they're just recloning him until they find, until it's the right combination of stuff for
her. Well, it's kind of like with the Netflix show that was, had been a British show, Black Mirror.
Yes, that's another one that's on our list.
Oh my God, that's so good. And it reminded me, because there's an episode in, I believe it was last season with, what was her name? Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
Where the entirety of your existence is based on your approval ratings online. And, like, everyone's always got their phones out, and, like, every interaction people judge you on. Like, buying coffee, you basically either give a thumbs up or thumbs down to your barista, and they do the same to you as a customer. And it's all, like, your ratings go up or down, and like, your entire lifestyle is based on this. The higher rating you have, the better credit you have, the better places you can live, and it's an amazing episode, but that's the whole thing with Black Mirror, is all the dark tech and everything.
It's scary, because that's kind of the direction we're going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what Black Mirror does. They take a lot of the tech. Like, there's a video game episode too that this guy volunteers to be immersed in the video game to test it out, and of course things don't go right. So, but then they find out he's only been in it for like 20 seconds or so. Like it, but it's been like this whole long span for him. And all.
Wow.
But yeah, it's great episode.
Well, that actually touches on, you're talking about Bryce Dallas Howard being in that one episode.
Yeah.
Another thing that these anthology series have done, that's always been done, especially the one that really jumps to mind, well, two of them, because you mentioned Amazing Stories did this really well, but Tales from the Crypt in the 90s did this, that if you watch any of those two shows and then look at who's actually in there, everybody that's in those shows just are many, many, many of the people that are, say, 5-10 years later, are the top of Hollywood.
Right.
We're in those shows.
Right.
Tales from the Crypt was the same way.
Well, and now
people
it's
that were
not...
top of Hollywood from the 90s even through now all guest starred one episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah,
because they're using everybody, because they needed new cast every season.
It's more about getting people who are already popular.
Yeah.
It's not just like, but I mean, even Twilight Zone did that. I mean, you had Shatner in episodes. You had all these people that you suddenly recognized.
Like
in
I said,
episodes.
Being an anthology show, you have to have a brand new cast every episode.
And it gets people's attention if it's someone they know or recognize or that kind of
thing. And like you said, the established actors going back now, it's great because it gives them a chance. Like, you know what? I want to do something weird. Oh, wait, do you have a TV show? A 1 week job?
Yeah,
I step in here, get paid, and leave.
Exactly.
What do you got, Vicky?
No, talking about that. I think there's more channels going, like, getting rid of their whole lineup. I think MTV's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Teen Wolf is gone. And
MTV is trying to actually
Shannara
get back to
Chronicles
music.
Chronicles is actually gone. They already have a second season getting ready to start. It's not even going to be on there. It's going to Spike.
Yeah, it's switching networks. I saw that, yeah.
I've heard there's actually a couple of channels doing that with TV shows. That actually, the shows are switching networks now.
Well, and some of it is the same company owning the network, which makes it so much easier.
I believe MTV and Spike are owned by Paramount.
And so it makes sense that they're finally they're finally, like, realigning themselves to, we own all these channels. Well, let's actually show what's supposed to be on them.
Right.
You know?
Well, Spike was brought in as a, basically the men's network.
It was Guy TV, yeah.
And that's the Shannara Chronicles, where it has stuff for girls, women and stuff too, but it is a fantasy show.
Yeah.
That's traditionally a men's
and
type of show.
And Spike shows the action shows and, and stuff like that. Because, I mean, I remember when Spike first started, they had that one that had... It had Jimmy Kimmel and that other guy on it. And
The Man Show.
And, the Man Show, there you go. Because it had girls jumping on trampolines.
That was on Comedy
No, that was on Comedy Central.
That was on...
Comedy
what? Central. I thought that was
on
Spike.
That was Comedy Central. Wow, the two guys in the room remember what the
Yeah, exactly. What is that
the thing
tell
was, it was funny because they actually showed girls jumping on trampolines and stuff, but there was some generally funny stuff on that show.
Yeah. There was some, It was like stupid funny. It was guy stuff. It was guy stuff. Like drunk history. It's guy stuff. It's like...
That's one thing that TV learned how to do a long time ago is how to make men happy watching TV.
It doesn't take much.
Hey, now.
We know enough men.
Okay, so what else going
the
on
other the other things that are showing up on Sci-Fi that they they've mentioned previously, but these are new shows that they're bringing. There's going to be something with Brave New World, with Hyperion, which we mentioned before, The Purge, and they're going to have Stranger in a Strange Land. And so I don't know if these are like full series or if some of these are going to be miniseries or movies or that kind of thing, but it's things they've announced.
Well, some of those are classic science fiction.
Yeah, exactly. And they're finally bringing them out.
I mean, Hyperion started, sometime in the mid-70s?
Yeah, it's been a while. And they've also, just to make sure they get audiences that may not want just the new stuff, they've also been paying money to get the rights to show Harry Potter, to show Fantastic Beasts.
Well, you got to remember, this channel also, some people don't remember, do you remember the first couple of years of Sci-Fi? During the day... They had actually bought up all kinds of late 70s, early 80s, canceled TV shows that your one season shows.
$6 Million Man was on there.
The Man from Atlantis, Carman was on there.
Well,
Manimal was on there.
All the shows you couldn't see at all anywhere else. Like nothing else existed for you to see.
Well,
these
I'm
shows.
Wondering, if they still own those, they could actually do well showing those again. Because I would sit there and watch Carman just one time through. Because some of those you still can't get on DVD or Blu-ray legally.
That's true. That's true. excuse me. And I mean, the other stuff is they could possibly bring back and show again Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yeah.
They had Warehouse 13.
Run an original Battlestar Galactica marathon.
Right, right.
Like, once again, it's a one-time through, because these are shows you're not going to sit there and watch all the time. But run it a one-time through just to remember, hey, this was a fun show. It may not have been great, but it was fun.
Exactly. And the other thing is, like, they have enough old sci-fi shows, whether it was on their channel or not, to fill up their days. Like, they don't have to have the reality crap or, you know, paid programming kind of stuff. They've got enough to fill in, and then, you know, 6 or 7 o'clock at night, they start all their new shows. It'll work for them.
That's going to be cool.
So, it's nice to see that we're getting back, because people have been complaining over the past couple of years about the prevalence of superheroes.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many comic book stuff. There's so much superhero stuff. It's going to get old.
I wonder why.
And it's like, if you keep going, they keep making these things. They keep doing them well, and you keep watching. Well, duh.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But now we're getting stuff like the more fantasy-based shows, the more sci-fi, actual sci-fi shows.
Yeah.
Well, you know. The funny thing is, you look at how many, there's been a lot of superheroes and comic books on TV, but if you look at the percentage compared to your procedural cop dramas.
Yeah.
There's still a whole lot more of those than there are. Because how many of the cable networks that build their entire afternoon and evening lineup before the prime time on running like 4 or 5 episodes of NCIS,
right.
or CSI,
right.
or
Law
or
and
any
Order
of those.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, even just looking at the mainstream channels, like the non-cable ones, what their nights are like, you have one superhero show and you have five cop dramas or whatever, you know, it's
so
like,
it's a, yeah,
they just get a little more press. That's part of what it is. Like, everyone knows
that's
the cop dramas.
That's because we cover the superhero ones. No, there's nobody, there's no podcasts out there covering cop dramas.
I bet you there are.
Well, there are,
I
but
bet you there are.
They don't get as, they don't you tend to get the same amount of publicization and stuff like that, if that's even a word.
True. Publicization?
Yeah.
It is a word now. It's been created.
We've just coined a new term.
That's right.
Kylan's over there giggling. He's like, we do that all the time.
But that's what I like. Like, I like the fact that we're getting back to more of the sci-fi and more general geekdom that's not just all comics and all superheroes and stuff.
So, Vicky just realized that the dog's snoring a little bit.
No, I've known she's snoring.
And she opened her eyes, looked at us, and then closed them again.
Stop talking about me.
I can't feel my hand. It's asleep.
2 days of playing, and she's been out this whole time, which is nice.
But we also have other... I mean, we've got other shows we knew were coming back that are starting up soon. We have... Is it this weekend that 12 Monkeys starts?
Yes.
Then we've got Orphan Black in a couple weeks. We have Dark Matter and I just forgot the name.
Killjoys,
that one.
That's the one we've actually seen all the way through Killjoys. Summer. We've not caught Dark Matters all the way through yet.
I think they've released a date. It's July, isn't it? It's coming in July.
Yeah.
Doctor Who's already running.
Yes, we have Doctor Who and we have Class.
Yeah.
Those are both running. And, oh, actually, they announced that American Gods is already getting a second season, which we have not caught yet because I keep delaying having to pay for another channel
I'm not going
to
pay for Stars to see it. I'll wait till we get it on Blu-ray, DVD, something.
There's other shows on Stars that that we'd probably watch, but I just want to wait until, like, to do, the, you know, that one-month trial.
Well, for us, it's even bigger.
If you wait until there's enough episodes to get all of them in 1 month.
In general, for cable, you got to pay, what, $10 for a new channel?
Yeah, pretty much.
And the funny thing is, that's been the same since, like, the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
HBO in the 80s was $10.
Right.
But since we don't have cable, it's like 15 or more for us to add to Amazon or Hulu or one of those.
Well, I think it's 8 or 9 to add to Amazon Prime. You can add Stars.
And that's per month, right?
Right.
So it's like we pay the $100 a year. It's like, and then all of a sudden we now have a monthly fee? No. We could do it to Hulu also, but it's like we pay $7 a month for Hulu. I'm going to pay more than that to add one channel to Hulu?
Right.
No.
Yeah,
besides, the amount of programming that's already on those...
I'm sure you're going to be paying for that DC one when it comes out.
I have to. It's a business expense.
Uh-huh, right.
I got to see Titans and Young Justice.
I'm not willing to pay DC anything, so... I'm not paying for...
Actually, that brings up an interesting thing. We were talking about earlier about Flash and with Wally West a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the actor playing Wally West, what's the... it's going to be interesting seeing they have this new Titans show coming from Greg Berlanti that could very easily be part of the Flash Arrow universe.
It could.
And we've seen through the 3 seasons we've had of Flash, they always bring in another hero as part of the show too. And by the end of the season, he moves on to do something else. The big one being Firestorm now in Legends. And then having Captain Cold and McRory on Legends. What's the chances, you think, of possibly... And we know this will work because this new Titans show is the early 80s Titans team.
Mm-hmm.
We know this is going to have Dick Grayson. They've not said whether he's Robin or Nightwing. They just said Dick Grayson. Right. But and then the writer of the article that I read actually put in quotes the Robin or the original Robin or something like that. So it's like you could tell that this wasn't the studio saying this. It was him just trying to remind people.
Nightwing.
Well, I'm hoping if they do it right, they start him as Robin, and in the first episode is where he decides.
No, we don't need another origin story. I'm betting on Nightwing. There's been enough Robins. Like, there's so many Robins around. Like, because you have, unfortunately, Teen Titans Go. You have Robin there.
Right.
They've made mistakes with Robin in movies.
Yeah.
They've
only done that once in movies. Really.
Yeah.
Because in Dark Knight Rises, they kind of teased, but didn't.
They didn't get to it.
They never actually pulled the trigger.
But I think it would be better to just jump right in with Nightwing than it would to try
but,
and
we know it's
it.
Nightwing, Raven. I believe they've mentioned Starfire being there.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's like, Kid Flash was a major part of that team also.
Mm-hmm.
People, the modern time, especially kids who grew up in the 90s and came forward, didn't realize that Kid Flash and Donna Troy and all those were in that team. Because they were used to the cartoon Teen Titans,
which
didn't have them.
That's true.
They just had the 5.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but what's the chances, since we already have a Kid Flash in the universe, of taking the Kid Flash from Flash and spin him off into this to give everybody a touchstone for that show? They've done with all of the other shows.
It's a possibility, except for the fact that it's different platforms. And DC hasn't been crossing their platforms.
But the Warner Brothers both owns the CW, or co-owns the CW and co-owns this other new one. Right. Or will be actually full
but
over.
They're also
the new
creating
one.
The movies where they've come up yeah. with completely different
well,
Flash.
That is and that being
you know
that's a totally different thing. That's movie to TV. That's not TV to TV to TV.
Well, it's TV to streaming service, so yeah. it's kind of it's still different. Well,
remember last season on Supergirl on CBS, Flash was on there.
Right.
So they did cross across networks.
Right. That well so, that was their intention all along.
I
though.
Think it'll be how much Greg Berlanti can actually pull the let. Can let Warner have Warner Brothers let him do something,
right?
Because I noticed this week on Supergirl, they actually made another Batman reference straight up, saying that he exists in this universe without saying Batman.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the beginning of the episode, Guardian saves this girl from getting assaulted, but she's scared to death of him. It's in the dark. He's wearing this dark costume and stuff, and he's talking to Wynn later. Jimmy is and says, "I don't want people to be afraid of me like Clark's friend." And Wynn kind of points up in the air from his side of his head. He's like, oh,
yeah,
you mean? And then that's all he says.
Okay.
And they've mentioned Gotham. They've done all these things. It's one of those that Greg Berlanti has done this in the past with the shows. Mm-hmm. That he'll make references here and there, hoping at some point he'll be allowed to pay them off.
Right.
It's not something that was expressly approved. Mm-hmm. And so he keeps it vague enough that he's not crossing any lines.
Wasn't it on Arrow? Was it Arrow or Flash? They mentioned Bloodhaven a couple times.
Yeah. Oh, they've actually had stuff happen in Bloodhaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like,
so I mean,
said,
right
this
there,
stuff...
you've got your Nightwing.
I know. I keep hoping. I was like, maybe we'll get my.
Only problem with it right now is the fact that Fox owns the rights to Batman.
Yep.
Or at least to Gotham. I'm not sure what goes
with
Gotham.
They're having their same problem that Marvel has with certain characters.
Yeah. But they had Huntress on there. Huntress was is Bat family.
Well, also, true. You could, I don't know the way it works, but if you, the more you watch Gotham, and you watch actually what's good, not just the actors, but watch around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the late 90s, early 2000s time frame.
Right.
Because the TVs are all still the old school CRT mm-hmm. TVs. They're still using flip phones.
Yep.
This is the time frame is late 90s, early 2000s,
right.
Which would put Batman in our time frame now.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be difficult to stretch that and say that they're part of the Flash and Arrow universe. It's just right. they're in the past.
It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
So there's a chance we could that it can still work.
Right.
So I'm just excited about this new DC thing. If they take just part of what's on the CW seed already, because if you look at what's on the CW seed, a lot of the DC animated shows are already or not shows, but the movies are available on there,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So. It'll be interesting to see where they go with this.
Yeah,
but we gotta wait till 2018 to see it.
They're gonna have to fill in a lot depending what they're gonna have for
the
service
with what Warner Brothers already owns
right.
of DC. If you go back to all they've had television shows all the way back to the 60s,
right,
and all the way up to now. They could put Wonder Woman on there, the old Wonder Woman that was Warner Brothers, I believe, also.
Right.
Warner Brothers Television has been making TV since the 60s or earlier.
We're not
going to have a problem filling in the
network.
The
thing is, when it's being just DC specific, they have to hope they have enough of a fan base willing to pay for that.
I think they will.
You know, because at least Marvel has the entirety of Netflix. Like, people pay for Netflix, they get all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you're not paying just for Marvel properties. So that's the biggest thing, is that, like, you're locked into just the Warner Brothers DC stuff.
Yeah. Well,
so...
What it looks like to me, what I'm hoping is that Warner Brothers for years has been trying to do their own streaming thing. They have the Warner Brothers Archive channel, mm-hmm. which is a bunch of stuff that you can only get from Warner Brothers.
Right.
And you can get it on the Warner Archive channel.
Right.
What? Oh, you're just stretching? I thought you were raising your hand to ask something.
Yeah, you're just really loud. That's all. Oh. I keep watching the spikes go off
well,
the screen.
Well, and the other thing is whether with these new shows... they would actually do what Netflix does and release it all at once, or if they expect people... Because the thing is, if you pay for your subscription and you can pay by the month, if they release it all at once, people can go in, pay for a month, watch all of their shows, and then cancel their subscription.
Well, I'd say Hulu and Amazon use the weekly format for their original shows.
Right.
Because, what is it?
Deadbeat,
which we watched on... which was basically a stoner comedy about a psychic... That was on Hulu. That was a weekly. Man in the High Castle is a weekly.
Right.
So
it's kind of the only way that you're going to ensure that you keep a lot of your subscriptions is if you make it weekly.
It shows because Hulu, Amazon Prime, and Netflix are all, basically they're all about even right now.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that both formats work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that don't binge. I mean, I don't understand them, but they don't. I mean, as soon as I sometimes wait until a series is like completely through before I'm like, okay, now I can go watch it because I know exactly when it's going to end.
Yeah.
And I know how many shows I can watch at one time, all that kind of stuff. But like when we first got into Supernatural, we were a few seasons in. So we actually binged a few seasons to get into it, and then it was so hard getting used to weekly. It's like either we wait until the whole season's over and binge that, or we watch it every week.
Right.
Well, comic fans have had this same problem for years, too. Do you buy your weekly books, or do you just buy trades?
Right. Buy the weekly books, people. just buy them. Because that's how they know they're popular, and they will stay in production.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem that they're having in comics a lot, is because people have been doing just buying the trade, because for $12, you get 6 issues instead of paying $4 or $5 each.
It makes a lot of sense, and quite honestly, like, with our comics, we buy comics every week.
Yeah.
We get anywhere from, what, maybe 4 to 12 or something, depending on the week. But we buy them every week. We have piles of comics at home that we have to catch up on all the time. Like, it's just constant. And yet, at the same time, I'm not willing to go, okay, I'm going to put this title down now and wait for the trade. Because I don't want to risk that the title's not going to be there anymore.
Right, yeah.
Like, that happened with Mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
That's Mockingbird sales were not great, even though it was getting rave reviews. And then it got first in line on the Amazon bestseller list when it came out in a trade.
Yeah.
And by that point, it had been canceled because people weren't buying the individual issues. So, you know, it's kind of like... So that's our little aside. Buy the individual issue. Mm-hmm. Find the books you really like and buy those individual issues. And if there's one that you're not sure about that maybe you'll wait, okay, that's fine. But if you really like it, buy them.
Yeah,
right.
Because otherwise they'll disappear and then you'll complain and be sad. But since I mentioned Mockingbird, it brought it to mind. They did renew Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Good. Have we heard it? You guys don't watch them, but you catch the news. Have you heard anything about Lethal Weapon or MacGyver?
Lethal Weapon got picked up.
Okay.
Lethal Weapon did get picked
up. That one ended on a cliffhanger. They better have picked up.
MacGyver got picked up, I thought.
It did? Okay.
Yeah.
MacGyver, like I said, if they had not called it MacGyver, it's still it's a fun show if it's not MacGyver.
It's not, yeah, exactly. It's not MacGyver.
No.
If you don't call it MacGyver, it's a fun show.
It's some kid who likes to build things and be a spy. That's all. That's the show. It's not.
It was interesting halfway through the season when they switched his boss to be a little person.
I watched the first couple episodes.
Is that the boss now?
Yeah, that she's the boss.
What happened to
Patty? Was a
bad guy.
Yeah, she was a spy, or she was actually a double agent working for someone else.
Oh, there you go.
You gotta watch the show, man.
See, now I don't want to watch it now.
I know, because I know what you're saying, because what's his name in the original one was his boss the whole time.
Right.
But in the first episode, he wasn't. The first episode, he was one of the guys in the control room. Right, he wasn't,
but then...
There's a reason Richard Dean Anderson refused to be on the show. Okay? I watched the first couple episodes and felt stupid. Like for watching them. Like, I felt stupider for watching them. Because the original MacGyver, he would do things and he did not have to explain bit by bit why he was doing them and what it would do. And it's like, this is like MacGyver for dummies. It was just like...
I mean, every now and then he would talk about why he got a candy bar, but because it was
Be like some extreme, like, I never thought that could happen sort of thing.
Right.
Whereas this MacGyver explains every single thing. Mm-hmm. We know how to make a circuit, okay? Mm-hmm. We know the foil will work. Don't even do that.
Right.
You know,
See, I think that this show would have probably worked even better if they didn't call it MacGyver.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's exactly what I'm saying. If they had not called it MacGyver, it would have been MacGyver, a great show.
It could have been some kid spy show.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not. That's the funny part.
Towards the end, it got... they weren't explaining as much and things like that.
Yeah.
But I think some of that is... You got to remember, some of that's the network thinking, you know, we have to explain to people who don't know what they're doing.
It is the network not giving anyone credit for anything.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we were just smarter back in the 80s, but... MacGyver got me through physical science.
You know what it was? Right. MacGyver had come after A-Team, so everybody knew that you put a bunch of crap together, it works.
Yeah.
That's what the A-Team was. Every episode was, what can we weld together to make a tank?
Yeah, but the science in MacGyver was sound.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this science is sound still.
Right, but...
But it's dumbed down science.
It is dumbed down.
And it's not giving people credit for... Being
like the one...
So it's losing the fans of the original is basically what's happening.
Like, the one where he goes in to rescue the pilot who who was downed in enemy territory.
Oh, yeah, episode two. I just got done watching the first couple of episodes.
And then, you know, and he takes the guy's,
AK-47?
The guy's flare gun.
Oh, okay.
And bangs it into a small hole, and the guy's like, well, why are you doing that? He said, just trust me, you'll see. And then he gets the guy, put his arms around him, and then he shoots his gun down, and it basically makes his mini rocket, jettisons to the guy's mm-hmm. off, and I'm like, see, I would never thought about that. And it made perfect sense. It was logical.
Right.
No, I think in a way, I think you're right. I think that they were smarter in the 80s than they are now.
I think so.
Tech is kind of making everybody dumber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people don't have to figure it out for themselves because they just pick up and Google it.
Well, I mean, ask anyone under the age of about 25 to use a real paper map. Mm-hmm. Like, ask them to not use their GPS and find a place. It doesn't work.
We weren't able to find this stuff on the map back then.
Well, that's true, but we learned how to read a map.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a difference. Well, like, we were here, we needed to be there, we could figure out how to get there.
Yeah.
We didn't have a voice telling us. The hardest part was actually
finding
left,
something specific
right.
on that map. Say,
yeah.
Find this pizza shop on this map. It's like, oh, give me an address. So you still got to figure out how do you figure out where this address is at on this map.
Mm-hmm.
But we figured it out.
Yeah. But it's that sort of thing.
I used to deliver pizzas in the late 90s. I know how to do that.
Delivering pizzas without Google. Think about it, people.
I've been partially across the country with.
They were talking about that. I listened to Chris Jericho's podcast, okay? And he was talking with Alexa Bliss, which is one of the newest wrestlers in there. She's a girl from Columbus. She's only been in like a year. But she was talking about how, because any more wrestlers still book their own travel and actually have to drive from city to city.
Right.
Because it is they'll do like Raw or SmackDown, the major show, and then the next four towns they have are within 200 miles of there. So they drive to the next couple towns, then they fly to wherever the next major show is.
Right.
But so they have to figure out their own travel, and all of them have GPS and stuff. She said she would have been lost because Jericho says, "Yeah, for my 21st birthday, the major gift I got was a road atlas." Because he was wrestling in the 90s all the way through to now, so he was used to use the road maps and actually have to figure out, okay, I'm going from here to that town. How do I get there?
Well, and I mean, if you really want to experience this. Go north of the border. Because
Canada doesn't have GPS.
No. It has GPS, but if you don't want to pay for roaming on your phone, or if you don't have an international plan on your phone, you can't be using Google Maps. You also have to have the right settings on your TomTom or whatever for it to switch when you get north of the border. Otherwise, no GPS.
Yeah, different,
on there.
Different encryption
no
than the GPS.
Exactly.
Well, it depends on how close you are to the border.
Exactly. Well, it does. It really does. If you're staying in Niagara Falls, you might be okay. But yeah, so that's what, because that's, every time we've traveled up there, just in case we're going someplace different, even though I know Toronto and everything, in case we're going someplace different, I print out maps from Google. Mm-hmm. I will Google Maps this stuff.
You don't just turn on international for like that one afternoon or whatever?
No, whatever I'm doing. I mean, most of the stuff I know, but for the, you know, specific pinpoint, I print out the damn maps. Mm-hmm.
And then throw in construction.
Does MapQuest still exist?
Yeah.
Well, Google Maps exists.
Yeah.
You use Google Maps for directions. But yeah, so there you, that's our little diatribe on...
That's okay.
Technology now. Well, see, don't rely on it. When all this goes out with the big EMP, then we're all screwed. And those of us who are over a certain age will know how to do some of these things and find places.
We sound so old.
But I was thinking about it the other day because when we watched Arrow, they had that EMP go off on Arrow.
Yeah.
And it was something you didn't think about until it happened. Felicity couldn't walk again.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because everybody forgot that she's only walking because of that
because of technology. Implant. Like, what happens when we have an EMP go off and everyone's pacemaker stops? There's going to be a lot of dead people. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Well, actually, talking about Arrow, I have a big question that I've been waiting forever, and it seems like they didn't forget about it because they never do. Who the heck is Vigilante? Because, no, Adrian Chase in the comic books is Vigilante.
Right.
And he's Prometheus. So who's Vigilante?
Yes.
Right.
And they've never given any clue at all about who this guy is.
No.
He just shows up every once in a while, kills a bunch of people, and leaves.
I think it's Roy.
Vicky thinks it's Roy come back, but I don't think Colton Haynes is coming back. I don't know if Colton Haynes is coming back or not.
It's It's Future Arrow.
No.
Arrow from Earth 2. Can I just say on Flash, that was like the worst reveal ever because it was so obvious episodes ago.
The other one, everybody was calling that, but I was thinking that's too obvious. So I was thinking, you know what would have actually been fun is if that was Cisco from the future. Because Cisco would have known how to manipulate the tech. He would have been able to do all of these different things. All the clues with him being there would have made it. Because even like they showed like Killer Frost was repeating Barry's words with him. Mm-hmm. And then they show that Cisco's in the rafters right there.
Right.
So he would have seen this.
Well, the thing is, though, I was thinking based on the way they had Killer Frost react, it would have been better if it was her fiancé.
Mm-hmm. Ronnie?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're still not. We don't even know if he officially is alive yet.
I know that, but that's why that would have.
We were all excited though when they announced that he was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But then Robbie Amell's coming back, but then we find out it's in like a flashback type thing.
It's like it's not really.
It's like, oh man. Yeah, although Arrow this week was awesome, showing him setting up his rescue from the island, and you get to see why there's an arrow in Deathstroke's mask. That's all true. That stuff from the first episode of the first season.
Okay, you know what was funny though? I have to say though, because it was even though it was the same episode a couple weeks ago with the EMP, when he was rescuing Felicity, and he had to go and was it in the elevator shaft or whatever where he had to get to the ladder, and she's like, I have never appreciated the salmon ladder as much as I do now.
Yes. Well, that's like, I got to remember, I think it's next week, is that Ninja Warrior celebrity thing. Mm-hmm. I need to watch it just to see how much Stephen Amell can actually do on it. Because we know he can actually do the salmon ladder.
Right.
Which is supposed to be one of the most difficult parts of that course.
But see, I think a difference is doing it slow. Yeah, but he's going to have to do it.
Yeah.
He's going to have to do it super quick.
Which they had... Speaking of Ninja Warrior, they finally cleared out Public Square in Cleveland. They had it there earlier.
I thought about it. I was like, dude, we got to figure out a way to get up. But
they had it set up, which it took over the whole center of Public Square, and then they had a fan fest thing that was all these blow up pieces that were next to it. But the filming they did was at night, like there it was after midnight and stuff. And the couple of nights they were there, Monday and Tuesday, that's when there were frost warnings at night. Can you imagine being a competitor? Your hands on cold metal the whole time.
I want to know how many of our friends actually, if any of them actually got on the show, because we work with a stunt team.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch Ninja Warrior, you see a lot of the people that actually run the courses are stunt people.
Yes.
We know people that would be able to probably run the course.
Well, that one girl that did like insane last season, she's a stunt woman.
The one who was in...
Supergirl.
Yeah.
Yeah. She dressed
as Wonder Woman for one of them. Yeah. Yeah. She was cool. But
I think she did Big Board one year.
Mm-hmm.
But, actually, it's about getting real close to time to wrap up.
We talked a lot about TV today.
Yeah, there's a lot of TV news this week. And next week, we will have plenty of oddball stuff for next week. Yes. And then one thing we kind of touched on earlier, but remember, the Meeplecast starting this month, I sent Carrington the email because I remembered Tuesday or Wednesday that I had to send him one to remind him. The last Saturday of every month now instead of last Monday. So it'll be the last Saturday of this month at 1 p.m.
1 p.m.
And everybody can join us.
And that date is...
Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, it's Memorial Day weekend. May 27th is when we are doing the Meeplecast. From the Malton Meeple, Hudson, Ohio. Come hang out. Come have some milkshakes.
It's great timing. It's at it's 1 p.m. So, you know, you can grab a quick lunch somewhere. And then you can come join us and have a milkshake for your dessert.
Exactly.
And a brownie and popcorn and it's a Saturday so
in Hollywood Square.
It's a Saturday so they serve alcohol.
Yes.
So you can have a beer or whatever else you want.
You can have an adult mega milkshake.
Yes.
And you're going to be there long enough to be able to actually drink the thing.
The mega milkshake is fishbowl size. You really have to want that milkshake.
But then we can hang out afterwards and play some games.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think I'm most excited about doing this on Saturday afternoon.
There's actually time to play games.
Yeah. Because we don't usually have time to go up there to play games at all.
Mm-hmm. And when we were doing it on Monday, I mean, we were close to closing by the time we finished recording.
Yeah, we may be done by 9 or so, but they close at like 11. So it's like not even... And the place is half full of... or more than half full of D&D.
Right.
Yeah, because they were taking chairs out of our room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a huge D&D presence now, so if you're into that and local, check out their Monday.
Yeah, I believe they play Monday and Thursday.
Nights. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they have stuff, they have, is it Tuesday or Thursday night? It's a couple night. They have specials for couples night. They have, check out their, go to maltedmeeple.com, check out their calendar. They have all of their scheduled gaming on there, their special nights, their
One in D&D. They have all kinds of other roles. Right, and whenever they have Star Wars, they run Pathfinder.
Like reps from publishers and game manufacturers there, they get those on occasion. They have those on the calendar. They also have a really good blog. We post about once a month. I try to post their game of the month at least on our blog. We have a deal with them where I get to share it. But they have blogs that come out every couple days. They have games of the month. They have publishers of the month. They have comments from Game Masters.
Yeah, Karen Jen is all over the email or all over that website. He's constantly updating it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on their site. So
that's another one. Karen Jen was excited about moving this date because he could actually sit down and hang out with us again.
Right. Right, so we'll actually be talking with Carrington again.
We'll have the renewal of the Meeple News segment.
That's right. That's right. So we're looking forward to that.
So other than that, remember that's the May 27th, but the weekend before that, May 20th, is Odd Mall. Come out and hang out with us. Wash your eyeballs in the eyeball wash.
That's right. Wash your eyeballs.
So
and get a love t-shirt
Kylan's like, don't make me laugh, my jaw hurts. The Novocaine's wearing off.
Kylan can't laugh right now. If you saw the our image for last week's episode, I got Andy to send me the love logo to use in our image that he has on the new t-shirts that were really popular at Odd Mall. So if you want one of those, Andy says he had more on order and he was going to have them for this Odd Mall as well. They'll be at every Odd Mall, but, you know, if you want one of those awesome love t-shirts.
Cool.
You can come get it.
So other than that, we're looking forward to Wonder Woman. There's all kinds of movies coming this summer. Spider-Man.
Wonder Woman, we have Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah. Which means that's Memorial Day weekend, isn't it?
End of the month,
so we're going to have another combination show.
We are going to talk about it.
We're going to have to talk about Pirates that weekend.
Nice.
So we're going to have a bunch of movie shows this summer, I think.
a bunch of movies.
Yeah. Almost like they put a bunch of movies out in the summer.
They plan these things really well. Really, it's like it's a blockbuster season or something.
I know. So, anything else before we wrap up from anybody?
That's all I got.
You got anything to moan about, Kylan?
Kylan wants to go to sleep.
Kylan's like, let me go home and find some drugs.
No, yeah.
I gotta get this stuff out of my mouth.
Vicky, did you have anything? Nope. We got a dog that's slowly starting to wake up, I think, maybe. Come out to Odd Mall. You can see Cassie the Wonder Pup. She's looking at me like, don't talk about me. So,
a 3-hour shopping spree at the flea market wore out.
Yeah.
Yes. So, but with that, remember, you can always find us at geekwatch1.com. Anything, everything, social media at geekwatch1. Also, geekwatch1@gmail.com. So, anything you do, if you put geekwatch1, you're going to find us.
And if you don't, let me know, because I want to find out why.
If you find something other than geekwatch1, let us know, because Dawn will take care of the problem. Remember, you can find us on the Tangent Bound and Weeby Geeks Networks. And other than that, from Kylan and Dawn and Vicky and myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.